Hello and welcome to Blockchain Gaming World, episode 117. I am your host, John Jordan, and very pleased joining me today is Mika Timonen, who is the NFT director at Azurian. I hope I got that right. Thanks for coming on, Mika.
Thanks. Nice to be here.
So today we are going to be talking all about Habbo and how Habbo has embraced Web3, and Mika has been sort of the main driver behind that. But before we sort of dive straight into all the sort of details, maybe some people won't sort of have a history of Habbo. So maybe you could give us like a little pointed history of what Habbo, originally Habbo Hotel, you know, when did it start? What is it? That sort of thing.
Yeah, well, Habbo has been around for a very long time. It actually was established in year 2000. So 22 years ago,
yeah.
We are the longest continually running virtual world, and well, we are one of the first who introduced microtransactions. So you're welcome, everyone.
It's all your fault.
So Habbo is a very old virtual world, basically place where you can chat with other people. It's an avatar-based world, so. And pixel art world, so you can basically choose how you look there. But one key feature there is the room building, and what you can do with the space you have available there. So people want to create or like to create different types of games there, and agencies or groups and play together, role play, to do all fun stuff there together. And over the years, we have had over 300 million registered users. So we were really big about 10 years ago, and then been coming down a little bit since then. But very many people actually know Habbo and remember Habbo very fondly.
Yeah. Now, I guess it is one of those sort of projects where something's been around for such a long period of time. It sort of has these sort of flows, peaks and troughs, I suppose. But and I guess it is. Another sort of important thing about it, I suppose, is sort of the age. So it sort of skews a little bit, sort of teen, sort of young adult sort of thing. I don't know if it used to be the case. I don't know if that's still the case. Is that sort of roughly the audience?
It used to be the case, definitely. So it used to be people, let's say, around 12 to 15 were playing it. Nowadays, that audience has grown up, and we haven't really introduced much new people, but there's lots of those people who were playing 10, even to 20 years ago, and are still playing, so they are actually now grown-ups. And majority of our players are over 18 currently, so I would say something like 75% of our players are between 18 and 25.
Okay, that's quite interesting then, that you're that sticky. But I guess that's how some of these sort of social online worlds work, isn't it? Once you get people in there with enough sort of cohesion and enough sort of network effects, then that's their place. That's where they have their online space,
Yeah,
the metaverse, if we dare use the word.
Yeah, people grow their roots in different places, and Habbo is definitely one of the places. And when you have your community or friends there, it's very difficult to leave, actually.
Yeah. Okay, so let's it was just over a year ago that Habbo did its first NFT drop. So that was just 11,000, I think, NFTs, avatar NFTs on Ethereum. So obviously that was a sort of different time in the blockchain world. Lots of sort of bullishness and lots of NFTs sort of coming out of nowhere. But obviously you were thinking about that beforehand. And so can you talk a little bit about the sort of thinking that you had, as someone who worked at Habbo and obviously was interested in sort of NFTs, and why you thought those would be a good combination? Because even back then we were sort of starting to see, quite a strong backlash from certain sort of parts of the gaming community that we, for various reasons, didn't like NFTs. So it was sort of interesting that you had this strong established product that you thought would be good to have NFTs in there, and that would be adopted. So can you give us a bit of a sort of recall your sort of thinking around why you thought it'd be a good idea, and why sort of then the sort of that got adopted?
Yeah, well, I started the my NFT road early 2021. So with NBA Top Shot, there were lots of hype around that. Then there was the Beeble sale, and lots of hype, and it started growing with Bored Apes and other NFTs. I started collecting them, and first I really didn't think much of the whole technology or the NFTs themselves. I thought that it was just something weird. But when I really started collecting them and buying them, I realized that there's something to this technology and something behind it. And while I was basically looking into them more deeply, I started thinking also what we could do for our games. In Sulake, we have two games, Hotel Hideaway and Habbo. I was actually the lead game designer for the Hotel Hideaway at the time. And I started thinking that how can we introduce them to Hotel Hideaway? The thing that I really liked about NFTs is the fact that you can actually own them and sell them. So when I think about the games I've been playing for the past 10 years, both in mobile and on PC, like I was playing lots of Hearthstone, for example. And then I grew tired of, well, several things with that game. And I stopped playing, and basically I just lost everything because I didn't play anymore. So I spent, I would say, a few thousand euros on the game. And I stopped playing, and that's it. That money is gone. But with NFTs, I realized that that doesn't have to be the case. And all the in-game items can actually be NFTs that you can sell after you choose to stop playing. Or even while playing, you can actually earn stuff and sell that stuff. So that's one reason to play. So I started thinking what we could do at Sulake for these games that we have. And around that time also, it was summer 21, when the, I would say, the most hype around NFTs was. And I followed a lot of the NFT Twitter, so people talking about NFTs. And there were lots of similar projects to Habbo, basically people saying that they are building a virtual world with on top of NFTs. And I saw lots of comments that, okay, hey, this is like Habbo, but with NFTs. So for one, people really remember what Habbo is. And another thing that happened was that people were actually sending us emails and tweets that, hey, have you thought about doing NFTs? So to me, that proved that the instead of doing it, the NFTs for Hotel Hideaway, Habbo is actually the well-known brand, first of all, but also lots of old Habbos are in this space, so they might be interested in getting some, if not memorabilia, but at least in-game items. And that's basically where we decided that, yeah, let's try this out with Habbo. And it worked really well. And from what I've learned with NFTs is that you have to bring something new to the table. You have to create some actual utility and use cases for that. So that was our starting point. So we wanted to create stuff that you can actually use in Habbo. So that was our starting point, that all the things that we do need to also include the actual gameplay, that you can actually use them in Habbo.
Yeah. And when you were thinking about that, how, I mean, I guess it's a bit of both. Obviously, when you have a project that has, you know, a very big existing fan base, and but you're also doing something that's sort of, you know, a new sort of technology that has a sort of new audience, you know, are you doing that mainly to sort of energize and sort of give your existing, or at least a percentage of your existing user base, something sort of cool and new, and, you know, as you say, this extra utility? Is there also an idea that you're sort of attracting people who just might come in for the NFT bit, and then you might bring them into Habbo? I guess it's harder because Habbo is such a social thing that it's sort of, people tend to come in groups rather than on their own. But what was the thinking around that? Was it more an internal sort of focus thing, or was there a sort of element where you wanted to attract new people and maybe have NFT communities come?
I would say our main goal, or let's say target audience, was the old Habbos who used to play 10 years ago.
Okay, yeah.
And remember Habbo and now know about NFTs. So get them back in Habbo, create something for them that they could actually want to buy and own, and let's say collect even, that they have something from Habbo that they can show off, that this is mine now. And if they want to come back to Habbo, now they have this unique skin that they can use in Habbo that no one else can use, and this is yours now. So that was our starting point. Then, of course, we have still a bunch of players in Habbo, over half a million, closer to 1 million, depending on the period in or time period in the year or what the what is happening, monthly active users. So there's bunch of people who actually are still playing Habbo and would like to use this kind of exclusive skin that it's basically yours. My goal was that the avatars themselves are recognizable, so that when you come to the game and you wear this particular skin and it's yours, everyone knows just by looking at your skin that they know that it's you.
Yeah. Okay. I have to confess that I have a Habbo NFT, but I don't play Habbo, so I'm sort of on the other side of things, where I just kind of thought, you know, I've known Habbo, never been a user, but it does still have a very distinct art style, partly because it's been around for a long time, and you wouldn't sort of design that art style now, but that's how art style comes along. I think even for NFT collections, it's sort of, there's a lot of pixel ones out there, but the Habbo ones sort of really does stand out, so I think they sort of stand as a collection. So in terms of, have you, what's your gut feeling, or have you done any research about the people who buy the NFTs? So that was on Ethereum, and do you know how many of those are sort of active in the game?
It has been a while since I looked at the data. Yeah. Some time ago, it was about half of the owners have used it in the game. So it was actually more than I was expecting.
Yeah.
So that was very encouraging that so many are actually used in the game. I don't know how that has changed recently, but now with the Habbo X, which I guess we are going to talk about a little bit later, there were out of 4,500-ish owners, well over 1,000 visited the game, and we had it open for only a week, so it was still a very nice percentage.
Okay, no, it's much higher than I thought. So that shows your initial sort of idea has been validated, I suppose. So should we talk a bit about sort of, before we get on to utility, so I did sort of mention it before, there was this sort of backlash. Was there any backlash at all, or there must have been some people sort of moaning that these terrible NFTs were polluting their game, but
there were some people, but it was way less than we were expecting.
It was.
So well, first of all, we tried to do it cautiously so that we wouldn't ruffle too many feathers. But we were afraid that there will be pitchforks and bonfires outside our offices. Yeah. But luckily that didn't happen. And I think what we did correctly was first, we explained what we are doing. And second, we also included the community there. So we gave, out of the 11,000 avatars that we released, we gave 1,000 to the community.
Okay.
And what we did there was that people who wanted to have one, they were able to opt in. And then we put everyone in an order of gameplay, how much they have played during the year. And it was sort of the first play-to-earn mechanic that we have ever had. So if you played most, if you were very active during the year, you get a free avatar. And we also basically included the community into the whole project. And I think that went really well. I think people were really happy about that. But having said that, yes, there were some people who were angry. I think it was more about being afraid that how this will change the game overall.
Mm. Yeah. And so should we talk a little bit about utility? So you have this NFT sitting on Ethereum blockchain, obviously trade it or whatever, but the point is to bring it into your Habbo account or create a Habbo account. And then what have you done then sort of since a year ago when this thing launched? What do people get? Do they get anything beyond just like a nice avatar that people can go, oh, like your NFT?
How much time do you have?
Okay, well, it's your podcast.
Okay. We have done a lot. And like I said before, to me, NFTs are about utility. The utility is the most important thing. To me, it doesn't matter what it looks like unless, well, it's part of the utility, like with us. But it's more about what you get access to or what perks do you get. So first of all, the main utility was that you are able to use the avatars in Habbo. Mm. And that we introduced last year. Then by owning the avatar, we are basically used the avatar owners as guinea pigs. So we have started to introduce more and more in-game items like furniture, clothes, other things like speech bubbles, effects. We have lots of different things you can use in the game. We have started to introduce NFTs as those in-game items. And the avatar owners will always be basically get the first version or first NFT in the specific collections. Like the first furniture was the diamond sofa that we airdropped to everyone. So you got extra items, in-game items that you can use in Habbo. So we have done diamond sofa, a tribute top hat, some posters, and lots of other free in-game items. That's one. So we are giving the avatar owners, and we will keep giving avatar owners free Habbo items. So that's one. Then by owning an avatar, you are earning each day some what we call NFT credits. So these credits are not in-game currency, but the currency inside our ecosystem. It's not an ERC-20 token, so it's not tradable in the blockchain. So it's accumulated on our servers, but you can use that currency that you accumulate each day to buy more NFTs that we are selling. So only way currently to buy our these new NFTs, in-game NFTs, is using NFT credits. Of course, you can go and buy them from other owners from the secondary markets, but the way you mint them, create new ones, is by using the NFT credits. So that's okay. That's the currency that we are giving, and that's also basically free for all the avatar owners. And there's lots of other uses for the currency as well. So the Azerion, the parent company of Sulake, they are also doing some NFTs. So you can mint, we set aside a small number of these Azerion NFTs, and you can buy those also with NFT credits. And we have done some merchandise. That's not really a real, like, a exclusive perk for avatar owners, but there were some discounts to merchandise. And by buying the merchandise, you actually get an NFT version of that. So the hoodie that I'm wearing currently is the merchandise, and I have this hoodie also as an Habbo item that I can wear it in Habbo as well. That's also a perk. And then one big thing that we are working towards is that I really believe in the interoperability of NFTs. So since the NFT is decentralized, so everyone can know or get access to what you own, so you can build new games or new services on top of that data. So I just can go to different games and log in with my wallet, and then it knows that which NFTs I own. And we want to give you perks in other games as well. So we have done lots of collaborations with other virtual worlds or other games as well, and we are increasing that. So if you own a Habbo avatar, you can actually get perks in other games as well. That's not even our game. So World Wide Web is one game that where we are at, and Arcade Inc. is another. We are looking at several other. I don't even call them competitors. They are more like our partners in this field.
No, there is. I think there is an interesting point there where, you know, maybe it will change, but certainly at this stage now, the sort of NFT communities and sort of blockchain games companies are very much more in that sort of collaborative mode. It's very much sort of grow the pie rather than sort of fight over the, you know, how big your sort of slice is. And I think that's a very, that just generally makes the wider sort of community quite nice, because it isn't like everyone's fighting over, like, you know, to get a free-to-play mobile whale and he can only spend in one game. I think it's very much this sort of growth thing. So maybe I should create a Habbo account and log in and get all these cool things I should be doing. Now your mint was on Ethereum, but I think, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, I think what blockchain are you using to run all these in-game items? You're not using Ethereum mainnet, are you? So
no, not mainnet. We are using Immutable X, which is the layer 2 on Ethereum. So what is great about Immutable is that, well, it's really focusing on gaming. It's their main thing, and they have lots of good partners there. GameStop is one of them, for example. And for us, we are able to mint there like thousands and hundreds of thousands of NFTs without any cost. So there's really no gas fees for minting NFTs there. And that is really good when looking at the big picture. Since Habbo, like I said earlier, it's a 22-year-old game. We have billions, literal billions of in-game items. And if we would like to create them into or move them to the blockchain, in pretty much any other blockchain, it would cost a lot of money. Like so much money that we cannot afford it. But on Immutable X, it doesn't cost at all to move the stuff there.
Yeah, and I guess that's sort of very important for, you know, even at the moment, lots of the blockchain sort of use of blockchain in games is very much around sort of, you know, like with your avatar, and it's around these sort of hero type characters, which are great, which is going to find, but obviously games, if you want to have more sort of more granular NFTs in there, then it's, you know, you want things that aren't expensive for people to sort of have maybe a lot of them, or, you know, most people don't start off buying a $250 avatar, which is what the floor price of your ones is at the moment. So people will play around with much smaller amounts. So you need to have that scalability. So that's sort of interesting. So can we talk a bit about, I guess sort of the big thing, sort of next step is Habbo X. So you sort of mentioned that. Can you dig a little bit into what that means and what will be going on there?
Sure, yeah. Well, first of all, Habbo X is still the working title. We may change the name, but when we started the project, we didn't want to disrupt the original Habbo too much. And the original Habbo is, it has such an established community, economy, everything. So we cannot really do all the cool stuff that the Web3 offers us.
Yeah.
There are so many different features that we can now do because of the NFTs and Web3. If we do all of them in the old Habbo, it's gonna, I would say, break the whole economy. So instead of doing that, and another part is that we don't want to force the old community that we have there to move into Web3 if they don't want to. So we wanted to create them an option, and that's the Habbo X. We have 9 Habbo servers currently based on the language. So .com is for English, .es is for Spanish, and so on. Now, this is will be the 10th server, which I actually see more like a new game than a new server. And there we can now freely basically recreate the stuff that we want to recreate, improve the things that we want to improve in Habbo, and then also just bring the Web3 components there. Bring NFTs, bring play and earn mechanics, bring a currency that you can trade outside the game, so you don't have to buy the currency from us, you can buy it from other players, for example. So like I said earlier, that if you end your Habbo career, or in my case Hearthstone career, and you want to get some of the money back, I definitely want it to be possible. So this is what we are creating now, a new Habbo that is built on top of the blockchain.
And what sort of timeline are you looking at for that? I think you've done some sort of testing already. Did you mention?
Yeah, we had our 1 year birthday last week, and we released a week long pre-alpha sneak peek preview, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
And it actually ended yesterday. That was the first time that the public was able to see the current status. There's still lots of things that we need to implement, and we are planning on opening the we call it Alpha 1, so the first actual version with new features, hopefully this year, let's say December, latest early next year, and then we will keep building on top of that. So we will use this already established way of building games, that you release versions and improve it and keep adding features. So I see us being on it for the next 5 to 10 years, but the I don't have an estimate when the public beta would be, but the very first alpha version should be later this year or early next year.
And would that be sort of the first thing where you need the avatar NFT in order to go in there? So it's sort of like the NFT becomes like a ticket sort of thing, or when it's properly live, or will anyone be able to come?
Yeah, when it's properly live, yeah, anyone can join. For the alpha versions and basically testing versions, we will gate it so that only avatar owners or owners of specific NFTs can join. When we go to public beta, then anyone can join. And what I really think we should be doing, or what we are looking into doing, is that you don't have to care about wallets, NFTs, crypto, or anything. You can just come and play. At some point, when you realize that, yeah, you have collected so many cool new things that you actually want to profit from it, you want to sell those items, then you can go ahead and create your wallet or figure out how to get them, and we make it as easy as possible.
Yeah.
But we want to lower the threshold for you to be able to play the game until then.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's sort of a nice way of doing it, because I think there is a sort of a big issue, as you've sort of highlighted, when you have an existing product that you try to put NFTs in it, and certainly for the more game sort of things, that does create, that changes the balance of what people have, and particularly often the high-end players, and suddenly these NFTs come in and they maybe have too much advantage. And but the idea of having sort of a separate area where you can sort of do a lot of this sort of stuff, and if people don't want to go in there, they don't have to go in there, they can stay with their existing Web2, but gradually over time you hope more people from that sort of world will be comfortable coming into a more sort of NFT heavy experience, which could actually be quite, not radically different, but be, as you say, almost like a new, Habbo. I think you're saying Habbo version 3 or something. I don't know, maybe I picked that up wrong, but that sort of thing. It's quite an interesting sort of flow of audience, isn't it?
Yeah, that's what I, at least what I think, that yeah, we are creating a new Habbo, and but we still want to have the link between old Habbo and new Habbo. So
yeah.
If you earn NFTs, you can still use them in the old Habbo, and ideally, if you create a cool room in the new Habbo, you can move it also to the old Habbo and have it there as well. So
okay.
There are things that we want to do and keep the link strong between the old and new.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see how we are able to do that.
Mm-hmm. And is there, am I correct in thinking in this sort of Habbo X, whatever it's going to be named, yeah, people will create the rooms, but they can also sort of create these more sort of token based sort of experiences. So I mean, whether they'll be sort of, it'll be obviously full games, but more sort of mini games or things where sort of you're having user generated content, which is sort of, you know, underpinned by sort of blockchain, and then that gives people ability, sort of creators ability, to start earning in a, you know, sort of mini Roblox type way on the blockchain. Is that right?
That is, yeah, that's the core concept of what we are doing
yeah.
here. We have wanted to basically give back to the community, especially those who are good at creating the content.
Mm.
If you look at YouTube, for example, it lives on the people who create the videos. And most of the YouTubers or people who visit YouTube are just watching the videos, and there's a very, very small percentage who are creating those videos. But YouTube is giving you money, and you can actually make a living by creating those videos. I think that is something that we need to do, and also what we have been wanting to do for ages. We have lots of players, for example, in Brazil, then US, Europe. So there's so many different rules and regulations and laws.
Mm.
So it's more difficult to do that in Web 2. Yeah, there are ways to do that, but now with Web 3, it gives us more tools to actually reward those who are good at creating the content and creating the rooms and mini games and everything. So yeah, we are going to create some own mini games ourselves that will reward you by playing. But I see the main content in Habbo X is the rooms that the basically the normal players have created. And
mm-hmm.
then there are fun mini games. We already have so talented room creators and content creators that I see them creating so many cool new experiences that many want to just come and test them out and play them. And ideally, I would like them to be able to create rooms where, first of all, well, they can choose if it costs anything to join or not, but get money for playing. So that's their earning mechanism, for example, that those who join the, let's say, a game, we have a Falling Fernie game. So you go there and join it. It's like the musical chairs type of thing. So, yeah, you pay, what's let's say, 1 credit, and then you join it, and then the winner gets 20 credits, and there are 30 participants. So the room creator creates a game that rewards you, and they make some credits out of it, and then the winner gets something out of it. So that's the goal where we are going towards at the moment.
Mm-hmm. I think that's sort of a over the whole project, that sort of highlights, you know, sort of two of the key things I think are useful about blockchain. One is obviously ownership of items, which you could, you know, external to any other, you know, agency or whoever created them, and also the ability for sort of user-generated content to be rewarded in a much more elegant way. I mean, obviously stuff like Roblox exists, but just they take a massive cut, and the payment system is sort of clunky. And even with like YouTube, you know, you don't get paid very much, and there's like a minimum you have to earn before you get paid out. And then, you know, just on a very fundamental level, blockchain makes that stuff much easier because it's obviously internet money. So good to see you're sort of touching both those points. And sort of, you know, a year on from the launch of the NFTs, it sounds like you're pretty happy with how the whole thing sort of progressed. Have you been surprised by any reactions? Or was it pretty much as you thought it would be?
Well, of course, there are always surprises. But overall, I'm very happy how things are going. The team that we have is very, very talented. They are doing lots of cool stuff, like the Habbo in-game items that we are doing for NFTs are really good. Our art team is fantastic. Our dev teams are very good. So I think we have achieved more than we set out to achieve in the year one. And next up is the Habbo X. Of course, there are surprises. First surprise was the, how difficult still in this world is to get crypto out of the crypto account when we made the sale, and there are banks that really don't want to do anything about that or touch that. And then moving forward, even though we had a very successful drop, it was very difficult to keep, especially the NFT crowd, interested enough that they would stick around. So the marketing part is something that we need to figure out, and also how fast the whole NFT space is moving. It's staggering. It's if you blink, you miss stuff. So basically, so there's lots of new innovation coming out, and there's lots of interesting things coming out, and we are basically trying to stay afloat and see what are the things that we could utilize in our games. And of course, we are trying to innovate ourselves. So it's a fast-moving world.
Yeah, underestimation of the year. Cool. Well, thank you very much, Mika, for your time. That was really good. We'll obviously have to come back next year and see how about X has been renamed and launched and how that's going. But thank you very much for that.
Thank you.
And thank you to you who are watching or listening, depending on how you consume the podcast. Please subscribe to the channel, however you're consuming it. Every episode, we're talking to the people who are sort of building out this fascinating new world of what happens when sort of gaming and meets blockchain, NFTs, and really, I think, you know, all of it is very innovative. There's lots of creativity going on, and I think a whole new gaming industry is being developed from it. So come back next time to see what's going on in the world of blockchain games.